Amen. Thank you very much. I was very proud of the junior high and high school for their verse exams. The verse exams were over 300 words for the vast majority of you, and the vast majority of you got 100% to 105%. Very good job. I'm very, very proud of that. It's great to see that you studied hard on those verses, and I believe the vast majority of you could probably take the exam again and still do well again. So I thank you for that. Great job. Very, very exciting. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to talk about a lady this morning in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 21. I would have you to understand while I'm preaching this message this morning, at your young age, it is not impossible to have times in your life when you feel that maybe the Lord has failed you. Maybe the Lord has failed to do something you've prayed for. Maybe the Lord has failed you in some way that you think that the Lord should have answered a prayer or should have done something differently. But I want you to understand that I believe with all my heart that the Lord puts us through things or does things in our life to make us different, to make us better, to make us stronger, to test us in certain ways. I'll be honest with you, if the Lord gave us everything that we wanted, gave us all of our desires, did everything good in our lives that we would deem as good, if He would do all those things, I got to believe that we would cease to call on Him because there would be no need to call on Him because He would always answer all those things that we wanted in a way that would be a yes answer. Can I help you today? I'm only 39 years old. I'm going to be 40 very soon. But I've learned in the short time I've been in the ministry that sometimes God saying no or sometimes God delaying His answer is exactly what you need, is exactly the way you need it, and is exactly the way that we need to have it brought into our lives to make us stronger people. Through those times, we have to learn, and we're going to learn this about this lady this morning. Through these times, you've got to understand that He's trying to do something in your life to make you a stronger person, to make you a better person, to make you closer to Him and better as a Christian and seeking Him more. Without these things, without these trials, without these times that He puts in our lives, how would we really get stronger? I would challenge you to think about the army. We don't send our troops into battle unless they've first gone through basic training. It's not easy to go through basic training. Matter of fact, the work is very difficult. You have to run a lot. You have to do a lot of weightlifting. You have to do things that prepare you for battle. It would make no sense to put a soldier into a battle if they didn't have the correct training to be able to sustain the battle. Likewise, in Christianity, we are in a battle. There's no doubt about it. In this world today, it seems to be waxing worse and worse, but let me help you to understand, the Lord has not changed. The great God that parted the Red Sea is still the great God of today. The things that have happened in the lives of you or in the lives of me, we can still call upon the same powerful God that did all the wonderful miracles that you read about in the Scripture. He's not changed. Things are not too hard for Him. They become too hard for us. And that's good because we need to call upon Him during these times. I'm going to introduce you to a lady this morning. You've probably heard about her. But I want to show you some different things about this lady that are very intriguing to me. This lady was able to go through some trials that were very direct, go through some hurtful things that maybe you would have turned back by this time. And yet she stayed. I want you to read about this lady with me in Matthew chapter 15. In verse 21 and 22, I'll have you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. I'll just read those first two verses, and then we're going to read much more. But I want you to understand what it takes to give the Lord another chance. Let's read verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord! Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity to preach chapel. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity these kids have to hear about You. Oh God, get into the lives of these kids that they realize how great and wonderful and powerful and magnificent and perfect You are. Lord, be with us in a special way today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus, wherever he went, it seemed like he had attention of people. Wherever he went, it seemed like he had groups around him. It says in this verse that he departed from where he was. And you must understand that where he was surrounded by people. He departed into a place on the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and a lady came from Canaan. This lady had a very serious problem. And you must understand something, that the coast of Tyre and Sidon and a place called Canaan were not meccas for the Word of God. These were not places that people sought out Christianity. As a matter of fact, these were not places that talked about Christ very much. These were not places that warmed to the fact that Jesus was even coming. You must understand, there's places like that today that really don't care about hearing about Christ. They don't care about any of those things. But understand this, Jesus, no matter where he goes, is that same Jesus. Jesus is a God and a person that you can touch. You can have your infirmities. He knows about them. He knows who you are. He knows your frame. I find great comfort in the fact that he knows my frame and he still loves me. You can take solace in the fact that your Lord loves you even though you are who you are. Yes, we should desire to live a holy life. We should desire to have a life that is close to him. But understand this, even in your failures, your God still loves you. I would to God everybody cling to that. In your darkest days, in your darkest hours, Jesus still loves you. You may not understand it. You may not understand why you have to go through things you have to go through, but you will someday understand why. It's not ours to understand why. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm excited that I don't know why God does what he does. I'm excited that I don't know why God thinks the way he thinks, because his thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. His ways are so much higher than my ways. And I'm so glad of that, because if I could figure out God, how great would he really be? I'm glad I can't figure him out. I'm glad he does things in my life that I can see him working even in the bad times. Sadly, in Christianity today, most times, Christians have something bad in their life, they curse God. Something bad in their life that they deem as bad. Not that God deems as bad, but that they deem as bad. It's amazing to me how quickly we quit. Look at this woman for a minute. A woman of Canaan, verse 22, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She had a problem and she knew who could fix it. She had a problem in her life and she knew what she needed. She knew who she needed. It was amazing to me that this woman even knew about Christ and she called him Lord. I'm so thankful for that. You must understand that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You must understand that Jesus Christ is amazing that he cares about us. Amazing that he died for us. Amazing that he purchased us. Amazing that he cared about wretch like me. It's amazing that he did all that, and he did them. And I'm so excited for that. This lady was no different. Didn't matter where she came from. Didn't matter what she did. She cried unto the Lord. Let's look at what the Lord does. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, verse 23 said, but he answered her not a word. Now, the same Jesus that I was just speaking of a moment ago, of being a loving God, a caring God, he didn't even acknowledge her. Do you think he didn't know that she was there? Oh, he knew she was there. It's at this time that I would bet 85% of Christians walk away. It's at this time, right here, when the Lord doesn't answer you immediately, the first time you call on him, that we walk away unsatisfied, thinking that God doesn't care, God doesn't hear. Can I help you? I've only been in the ministry for 16, going on 17 years. There's times it takes more than one prayer to get it done. There's times that it takes more than just one idle conversation to get prayer answered. There's times it takes more than just one thought in passing or a thought during grace at a meal to get a prayer done. Why do you think we pray over the same things every day on that prayer board over at the school? Why do you think we do that every single day? Because I want God to hear from you every day. I want God to understand every day, every moment your thoughts are on Him. And yes, He may not answer you a word. It may be to the point where, I don't know, I've asked 20 times and He still has not answered me. This lady had that happen to her in person. How would you like it, Andrew, if you talked to me and I didn't even answer you? I didn't even acknowledge you. You would turn away bitter, angered. Well, he didn't even have the time. How dare he? She could have turned away. Think about that for a minute. How would you feel if I didn't answer you? How would you feel if a friend of yours didn't answer you? In our bitterness, in our flesh, would we be willing to give that person another chance? Look at what she does. I find it intriguing. He answered her not a word, and his disciples came. The lovely Christians, saved people. Saved people. I love this. I get this in church. I bet you Brother Greg gets this every once in a while too. People come to church and they may not look like you. People come to church, they may not dress like you. People come to church, they may not smell like you. They may not come from your background. They may have long, dirty hair. They may have come on a bus. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Dave, they've got to go. You know what my answer is to them? I think you got to go. Let me explain something to you. Nobody should be asked to leave the house of God. Nobody. Where else would you like them to be? See, because you got to understand something. I come from a background where I thank God where He took me out of. And some of us preacher kids in here, some of us, well, we think that we will leave it to live a preacher kid's life. He never saved me out of anything. Hogwash, you're a sinner just like anybody else. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that they're better than you. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that they're better off, better Christian, closer to God. Hogwash, you got a relationship with Jesus Christ of your own. Make one. What's amazing is we don't seek out that relationship. I fear people that tell me that they're close to God. I do. I fear Him, because when you truly get close to the Lord, and I would never even think to submit to you that I'm close to God, the closer I get to Him, the more I realize how dirty I am, the more I realize how dogged I am, the more I realize I am a sinner. But the greatest thing about getting to that place is you realize how much He loves you. How much He cares about you. It takes a God like that. It takes a God like that to love a man like me. So unclean, so filthy. I'm so thankful. When you get closer to God, don't fear the fact that you realize that you're undone. Don't fear the fact that you realize that you're a sinner. Do you realize this? He didn't die for just preachers, Austin. He didn't die for just great men like Brother Gray. He didn't die for sweet ladies like Mrs. Gray. Didn't die just for her. He died for everyone just the same. He died for you, for me, just the same. Yes, I think we should try to get closer. Yes, I think we should continue to pursue, but understand this. Just as He died for that lady that He did not answer a word, just as He died for her, how dare the disciples decide, you ought not be here. You ought to go away. You ought to go away. The Lord doesn't want to deal with you anyhow. You want to go? No, they want to come. You want them to come because the Lord does want to deal with them because He died for them. In the jail ministry this last Tuesday, I opened a lot of eyes because I told them that Charles Manson is somebody that God died for. As wicked and vile as that man was and is, Christ desperately wants him to be saved. Do you know that? Desperately wants him to be saved. Because he is a man that Christ died for just like he died for me. It's difficult sometimes when you see somebody walk in that maybe isn't like you are. Maybe a drug addict comes in through your doors. Maybe a drunk comes in. Maybe a drunk comes in stumbling and drunk at the time when they're here. And we, as our Christians, ride in on our white horses. And we say, thou drunkard, be thee removed from this place. Jesus rebukes you and saying, let him alone. I died for that drunkard just like I died for you. You must understand, in the Bible, the Lord says he is no respecter of persons. That means he cares for all of us the same. He loves us. The disciples make a grievous error here. Let's go on. He answered not a word. The disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now the Lord profiles. First he didn't answer. Now he tells her, I can't help you because you're not a Jew. The Lord profiles right here. If you stuck around through the Lord not answering, you're not going to stick around after you were racially profiled. You're not going to stick around after he says, you know what, Jordan, I would help you, but you're not a Jew. Get away from me. Understand this. You must interject here. The Lord knows the end of this story before the story happens. We don't have that ability. That's why I try to teach you in the front. Treat every man, every person, every soul that you come in contact with as a soul that Christ died for. Because you don't you ever go up to somebody and say, well, you're not a Jew. Why would God save you? Don't even think about that. That's not what the Lord is doing here. What the Lord is doing is showing people, showing her, showing us in his word, how long would you be willing to stay? How long, how many chances would you give God? Let me ask you a question. Does he know what's best for you? Yeah, he does. Well, I can't believe I've got poison ivy. Does he know what's best for you? You might say that, well, that's stupid, really. It should teach you a lesson on what plants to avoid. That's good to know. You burn yourself on a stove. Well, that's dumb. Why did the Lord have me do that? Would you ever burn your hand again? I know that sounds foolish, but think about that. In our lives, the Lord may put things in our way that teach us. Are you willing to be taught? I was so excited because I have kids in my grades over there that I didn't think at first that they'd be willing to do it. And then I watched a boy get a 91 on a test. I watched kids get 105s on their versus exams. Why? Because you gave an honest effort. Because you really did have it in you. Proving me right, and I appreciate that. But I understand that people really do have it in them if they'll just seek it out. This lady was amazing if you keep reading. Let's keep reading. This lady is absolutely amazing. The Lord says, you're not a Jew. How in the world, why would I help you? Then, this is what she says. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Well, you just racially profiled, and she says, Lord, help me. He just called her a Gentile, which we are. Unless you're a Jew in here, you are a Gentile. He called you what you are, a Gentile. And she says, Lord, help me. She refused to stop. She refused to have the second answer be her last. She refused to have the second thing that the Lord gave her be her last thing that the Lord... I challenge you, give the Lord another shot. Give the Lord another chance. Don't let the second answer be the last. Seek him. The Bible talks about importunity. I've given you this illustration 100 times. I love it. Children know importunity. All you got to do is watch a kid in the candy aisle at Walmart. They know importunity. Importunity is a ceaseless begging. My children, when they were, and still today, for goodness sake, this big riding in the cart, they see a Reese cup. What do? You all know importunity. Daddy want a candy bar. 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 After the first 7 times of telling you no, and they still keep coming, that's importunity. After a while, Daddy want a candy bar. 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 It keeps getting worse. Importunity. They keep begging and begging. Now tears start to come. Now you're worried about social service checking in because your kid's howling like he just got beat 7 times. I want a candy bar, I want a candy bar, I want a candy bar. They know importunity. Finally, the parent, at the end of their wits, grabs a candy bar and says, "All right!" The tears magically dry up like the Red Sea being parted in dry ground. And the child walks away with his prize. 2 peanut butter dollops wrapped in lovely milk chocolate. The child has won the battle. That's importunity. When's the last time you asked the Lord, "Lord, I need this, I need this, Lord, I need this, I need this, Lord, I need this," but he answered you not a word? "Lord, I need this, I need this, Lord, I need this, I need this," but you're not a good enough Christian. Okay, I'll stop. Do you think the kid cared whether he was a good enough kid or not to get the candy? Does that really matter? "You're not good enough to get a candy bar. I want a candy bar. I want a candy bar. I want a candy bar. Do you think, no, you were bad today. I want a candy bar. I want a candy bar." You can't whack him because there's cameras all over the place. You go to jail for whacking your kid in public now. You can't whack him. All right. You know, they make candyless aisles. You just have to find them. There's only one, like, in the whole country where there's no candy. The kids don't even know what to do with themselves. They go through the aisle going, "This is my candy place. All I see is mints. That's not candy. That's not even a reasonable facsimile." Continuous asking, this lady would not be denied with the one person, the one God, the one place where she could go. She knew where that was. I challenge you to know that the one place, the one person, the one God you can go to is Jesus Christ. Don't you be denied. Don't you stop. Give him another chance. Don't be satisfied. Don't stop until you get your answer. Look at what she does. "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "You would not stay for this." He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." He called her a dog. There is not a girl that I know ever that would enjoy being called anything that resembled the species of canine. You could pick the cutest, sweetest dog in the country, and if you called her that cute, sweet dog, she'd still slug you. Rightfully so. He called what she was asking for. He called her a dog. He didn't answer her at first. Then he racially profiled her. Then he calls her a dog. There's no way she stays. There's no way you stay. Come to school and have me racially profile you. And I think that's terrible, and you can't even fathom how terrible that is, to racially profile. I think it's a sickness. It's sin. It's not a sick, it's sin. It's vicious sin. But the Lord knew the end of this story. He knew who she was. And he's teaching you what you may have to go through. There may be days when you can't even imagine what the Lord is putting you through. He calls her a dog. Would you be willing to have somebody call you a dog? Would you be willing to have the Lord someday look down on your real request now? His daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Now, I understand what the word grievously means, and I understand what the word vexed means. I've got to admit that I'm a little bit shy on seeing people grievously and vexed with the devil. I hope and pray I never see somebody that's grievously vexed with the devil. I've got to believe that's painful. I got to believe that's vile. I don't even know what to tell you about that. I don't even want to come close to that. But this woman had a real, real problem. And even in the middle of this real problem, and we have real problems, in the middle of this real problem, no answer. Lord, how could you not answer? You fed 15, 20,000 at a time. Lord, how could you not answer me? I've got a real problem here. All they were was hungry. I've got a real problem, and you're ignoring me. How in the world can you ignore me, Lord? How can you tell me that I'm not, because I'm not Jewish, you can't help me? I got a real problem. You fed all those people. They weren't all Jews. You helped them. Why don't you help me? How many times, Brother Gray, have you seen somebody complain? You answered their prayer. Why aren't you answering mine? Do you realize that you deserve nothing? Do you realize the Lord owes us nothing? Everything he gives us is what? A gift. Well, the Lord, so many, picks and chooses who he answers and who he doesn't. I think the Bible teaches us to have importunity. I think the Bible teaches us to keep asking. I think the Bible continuously shows us that we're supposed to talk to our God. This lady went above and beyond. Good Lord, she was ignored. She was racially profiled, and now she's being called a name. Look what she says. I preached this Tuesday in the jail, and I could not believe the answer I got out of one of the men. I can't even imagine this answer, but he told me this, looked at me with a tear in his eye. Probably the best jail ministry I've ever had. I said, how would you feel if someone called you a dog? He looked at me with a tear in his eye and says, it depends. Because I believe that I am. I'm glad it's quiet in here. That man looked at me and said, it depends. Because I believe that I am a dog. Look at what she says here. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. I am a dog. Truth. But I love her answer. Truth, Lord, I am a Gentile. Truth, Lord, I know I was ignored, and rightly so. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs, even the dogs, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. We pray for a filet mignon meal. She's saying, Lord, I'm happy with the crumbs. I would to God, oh, glory to God. This gets me excited. I would to God that we would be satisfied, happy, seeking for just but the crumbs that fall from your master's table. We expect to put ourselves in a vaunted position with the chair that sits right next to the Lord. Well, Lord, I serve you. I care about you. I love you. I don't know much more of a godly lady than Ruth Hill, but I promise you that the more godly you get, the more you realize that you've got to be satisfied with what falls off the table of the Lord. You've got to be satisfied with what falls off the crumbs that get to this floor. The crumbs. Why? Because we don't deserve them. Yet he loves you enough. He loves you enough that one day we're going to have a seat at the Last Supper. One day we're going to have a place, and I don't know what that place is going to be, but the Bible says, I go and prepare a place for you. And he's been working on my place for a long time. I don't deserve a place, but how exciting is it going to be when I get there? He ignores her. He racially profiles her. He calls her a dog, and she says truth. I'm not telling you to walk around like a sad sack. I don't find discouragement in this passage at all. I find encouragement. I find encouragement realizing that, yeah, I'm a dog, but there's an end to this. Yeah, there's times when he doesn't answer my prayers right away. But there's an end to this. Yeah, I'm a Gentile. The Bible talks about us being grafted in. If you are saved, you're grafted in. You are a wild root that grows in among the actual Jewish people. The Bible teaches that we've been made Jews by adoption. Thank God. Understand this. We don't deserve any of this, but look at the end of this story. Look at the end. It says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Now, wait a minute. It seemed like he was being mean to her over here. It seemed like it was un-Jesus-like. But let me help you a little bit. He knew what the end of the story was. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through, but Jesus knows the end of the story. Jesus knows where it's going, and you don't want to know. You don't want to know what the future holds. You don't want to know. Man, I hear people all the time, I wish I could tell what the future is. No, you don't. You don't want to know, man. Just enjoy what Jesus has taken you through. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let him direct. Well, I'm a Christian, and he's made me suffer affliction. Count yourself thankful that he's let you go through affliction for him. Paul is my favorite person in the Bible. He realizes who he is. The Lord did unbelievable miracles through him. And he's still willing to say, oh, wretched man that I am. If you could realize that you are wretched and loved, if you could realize that you're dirty and clean, if you could see your life through the eyes of Christ just for a moment and look at what Jesus thinks of you, it'll make a difference in your Christian life. It's not meat for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Truth, Lord, I'm a dog, but I'm willing to take the crumbs that fall off your table. I'm willing to take what you give me. I don't deserve anything, but I'm willing to take whatever it is. And the Lord looks at her, says, woman, great is thy faith. Let it be even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed because she didn't let anybody or anything sway her from seeking out Christ, no matter what. You may not understand, but be thankful that you don't. You may not get it. Praise God, we don't. God has a plan. If I could tell you anything with all my heart, God has a plan and a will for you personally. It is not going to be a paved road. It's going to be mountainous and bumpy. But I will tell you this, and I'm all done. I've never met one person in my entire life that says that they regret serving at the Master's table. I've never met a person yet, but I have met countless people that regret the moments that they took off of serving God. They regret the moments that they didn't, and they always wish they'd have started sooner. Do you realize what opportunities that you're being afforded right now if you'll not settle for what the world has to offer, but if you'll go and grab what the Master provides? You have a awesome future if you'll seek his face. Have faith in him, no matter what the situation. Have faith in him, no matter what happens, no matter what you feel. Have faith in him. Give Jesus a chance. Give Jesus a chance to do a miracle through you. Give him a chance. You'll never regret staying through all the fights and all the battles, all the war. You'll never regret it. Stay and give Jesus another chance. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach chapel. I thank you for the attentiveness of the children this morning. Lord God, I pray that this message is preached to me. I've got to be more faithful, Lord. I've got to trust you more. I've got to look upon you as the Master. I've got to look upon you as somebody that I don't deserve to have anything given to me. I've got to look at you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty One. But then I also have to look at you as a father, a friend, a joint heir, somebody that even though I'm unclean still sees me as though I'm clean, even though I'm a dog, is willing to feed me. Lord, help me. Help these kids. Oh, God, get in these children's lives. This is our future sitting here. This one woman, you talk about in your scripture, Lord, that you went to that place and you left that place right after you dealt with that woman. Lord God, she had a wonderful appointment. And it seems in the passage that you give us here that she was the only one you were after. Oh God, let us realize that we're the only ones that you're after. Let us realize that we have divine appointments, Lord, that we can come to you. Lord, let us seek you out. Let us be diligent. Let us realize the wonderful opportunities that we have and take them. And Lord God, please be with these kids. Put a hedge of protection around them. Love them from heaven. Let them be the old style generation of Christians in a world that seems to be getting worse all the time. Oh Lord, help us today. Help us to seek out your face. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Mr. Ballard, I know for sure that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven 100%. Put your hands up real big and tall. Everybody's hand is up. I'm so thankful for that. You may put them down. Dear Lord, please be with these kids. Let their hearts change. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that you care. And Lord, please help us today to seek you and not be deterred. Lord, help us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go.